this sacred place. And certainly, God, it is because you have provided all that we could have asked, thought, or imagined. In fact, Lord, we are here simply because David was right. The Lord is our shepherd. And so, God, we thank you for keeping the watch throughout the night. We thank you, Lord, for traveling mercies. And we thank you, Lord, for the mind that led us to say, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, God, that we are here, would you certainly, Lord, meet us in this place and help us that we might come closer. There is a mindset that tells us to draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you. Lord, we know you will keep that promise. So now position us that we might sit at your feet, hear what you are saying to the church. Clear our minds of those things that have troubled us throughout the week, the worldly affairs and concerns, that we might now hear your voice with clarity and understanding. Speak to us, Lord, we pray, and help us, Lord, that we might help another. Father, we ask these things by faith, believing that you not only hear, but you answer our every prayer. And we declare that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This day gives us new opportunities. This day will help us to go further. And so, Lord, let us take advantage of the light of this day, that we might be better disciples to your glory, your honor. And Lord, we give you the praise. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. All right, God bless you. Happy New Year to you. This is our first time having Christian Academy in the year of 2017. So I know it's the 15th of January, but it's been that long. And then for some of us, we have not seen one another. We did not have the opportunity to worship on last Sunday due to the weather. And that happens around here in Virginia. And so Happy New Year to you, and pray God that you are ready to do great things in this year. The wonderful thing about a new year is that it tells you you got an opportunity to do a new thing. And so whatever you did not do to
if people haven't taught you well, that's not your fault really, because you really don't get to write the syllabus. You don't get to write the training module. But you can't sit there and be done well.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to start saying to yourself, I need more than this. How many of you have ever changed a job because you're dissatisfied? Yeah, you said, I'm going to work here. I'm not going to. This ain't doing it for me. Now, I look at Jess and Ozilia and Pat and two or three of y'all, and some of y'all that became husbands.
I'm not even going to do it. I forget. But it's important to understand that if you haven't been taught well, that's not altogether your fault. And that's why credible leadership is so important. And that's why you need to be able to discern leadership. You know, I've said this before. Don't just go to everybody's church. Don't just follow after the popular circuit preachers and all that kind of stuff. Go to the learning phase first. Sit there with your pencil and paper and say, you know, that sparked something in me right there. That made me think about something. And I've always said that preaching should not coddle us, but it should convict us. Learning should make us go, I ain't got that yet. I haven't been doing that yet. See, you were somewhere where they always tell you how wonderful you are and you don't need to do nothing else but just wait till the Lord come. That's a lie. I've been saying that a long time, yeah.
But what you just said about conviction, if you are truly convicted, the change.
Absolutely.
Because you make the change.
Well, you know, that's what convictions do. Our judicial system is presumably designed around rehabilitation. Once we got you, we're going to put you in jail a while. When you come out, you're going to be better. It's about change. Now, we know somehow or another, the people who went to jail come out worse. They go to jail and learn how this time when you break in, don't leave your fingerprints. And, you know, I don't know. But anyway, in the body of Christ, our responsibility is to fight against misinformation. Paul said that to the church. He said, who told you that? Who beguiled you? Who started talking crazy to you? He told Timothy, he said, man, whatever you do, fight against misinformation. Fables and old wives' tales and sayings. He said, and rebuke the people for going after itching ears and soothsayings. Hold them accountable. And see, that's when we start leaving the church. He won't be, I can't be going to no Bible study every day. You eat God food every day. You take everything else from God but instruction. And that's what he all about. See, y'all talking to me funny. I'm just trying to tell you, you have hurt yourself with all this misinformation, and then when truth start coming, when I was over there, they didn't say that. They didn't ever tell you nothing. I never forget when I was in the sixth grade, I was in a advanced learning program, and I had an English teacher. I won't call the lady's name, since we go out on the air sometime. But anyway, I was in her class for the first semester. And they had a little crowding issue, so they said, we're going to move some students. And I got picked. You know, they put me in Mrs. Williams' class. And I'll say her name because this story's going to go well for her. But they put me in Mrs. Williams' class, same English program, same books. But it's Mrs. Williams taught me. She challenged me. And I really learned English prep. I left other lady classroom. I mean, I was in there every day, same hours and all that kind of stuff. But when Mrs. Williams, Miss Loretta Williams, was a teacher. She was one of them teachers that had a yardstick taped together times three. Because when they used to hit you with one, it broke. She had three of them taped together. And she walked around with it behind her back like this. And she could whip that thing around like Zorro. And hit you with precision and go, did you miss something? You do know I'm teaching. And her, one of her favorite sayings was, I got mine. I'm trying to help y'all get y'all. But she taught me. And she took away the misinformation. She took away the excuses and lethargic behavior. You didn't sleep in her class. You didn't have an attitude with her. She'd get up in your face. She was a little old short lady. She'd get up in your face and go, you got a problem with me? And, you know, back then it was no ma'am. She said, no, hold your head up. When you. She taught us character as well. Even as much as she was putting it on us, she taught character. She said, listen, when you talk to people, you look at them. She said, you hold your head up. And she wouldn't let you come in disheveled. She said, listen, tuck your shirt in, son. She had shoe polish in her room. She had a brush for girls and little bows and barrettes. Yeah, she was a teacher. And she said, I can't work your mind if I can't work all of you. And see, in the body of Christ, again, it goes back to our witness. How people see us is a whole lot more information calculated before they hear us. They have processed a whole lot before you open your mouth. See, and so please understand, misinformation has hurt us because we spend too much time in the church. I always listen to people who say this, well, you don't have to. When you start that you don't have to list, just tell me now, you're looking for excuses. You don't have to go every Sunday. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to. You're looking for excuses. But in every other part of your life, you want God to come through 110%. You want to drive the best, live in the best, wear the best, your children. But you keep telling God and the man of God, well, I don't see why we got to do that. All the other churches don't do that. I don't pastor but one church. I don't have but one flock of sheep to really worry about. And so it's important for us to understand that you can't say stuff like, and I'll again give them to you, that greater is he that is in me when we don't see nothing in you. You can't say I can do all things and you haven't done anything. This ministry does not belong to me. I'm leaving. You gonna leave. He gonna leave. It can't die. Well, now that rhythm gone, we might as well put the sign out. Well, Stacy ain't here no more. I guess we won't be singing today. People have a right to leave. But the Lord said, I'll never leave you. I didn't say that. The Lord said that. And so please understand, you can't say things like that. And you can't neglect the fact that all of us are called to an assignment. When he ascended, he gave gifts to men. The Ephesians letter, chapter 4, says those things were given to primarily and above everything else build up the church. Amen. The reason you're alive is because you're still a part of the building plan. Amen. You're still critical to the success and vibrance of this ministry. So you can't keep saying things like, I ain't got nothing to do with that. If you ain't helping, you hurt. There's a thing that happens to us that creates these kind of problems. So let's go to Galatians 5. Excuse me. Galatians 5. I believe somebody praying against me. I should have been well by now. Somebody praying against me. Lord, don't let him get 100%. He'll go back to preaching 35, 40 minutes. Ain't nobody say nothing right there. I ain't hear nobody say, no, doc, we on your side. Everybody sitting there going, yeah, he probably right. Them 1 hour services been pretty cool. That's all right. We had a couple of hours. We had watch night was right at an hour. Christmas morning was right at an hour. New Year's was 1 hour. That's what y'all praying against me. Y'all saying, well, if he's sick and we can go in an hour. Lord, let that Negro stay sick. Some y'all praying against me. That's all right. I got something for you. I know where you live. All right, so Galatians 5. Now, this is critical for us because, again, those things that you don't understand are probably going to be most beneficial to you
You're not going to